Hello, this is Esther Wien. Welcome to Torah Zimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. And today we are continuing our study of Shir HaShirim, particularly focusing on two verses, one from chapter one and one from chapter two. And the two verses together will help us get deeper into the understanding of how we build this relationship with Hashem, how we choose to align our own identity, our own individuality, our own self-concept, how we use our God-given autonomy to channel Hashem's own self-expression, because we firmly understand that our identity is within a greater context of Hashem's, as we said, of Hashem himself, like the fetus in the womb. We are already part of a greater self-expression, and we are channeling it. Now, how that works, okay, is through the mind. And what we're going to explore today is the ultimate attainment of this, what we call mind meld with God, where we open our mind to divine thought, divine ideas, and that becomes how we think, and that becomes our choices, and that becomes what we concretize and what we channel. It all happens in our mind, and we are going to give a famous example called the glassblower example to kind of create an image for this. But the goal of all of this work of becoming the receiver, so to speak, of divine thought and concretizer is so that we use our life correctly. In other words, all of this is to make sure that we do life right. And the pasuk we're going to explore, pasuk 2, is actually speaking about the end of the process. The very beginning of the sefer says, in the end, we will have attained it, and we will die what is called a death by a kiss. What you might have heard of misas neshika, we're going to explain it. And that means we have attained a death in which we will be forever attached, even beyond the realm of phase of our bodily existence, to Hashem's self-expression. We will be part of it, and yet we'll have our unique identity within it, and we'll have contributed something unique in the world, to the world, through our alignment with that. So when we start thinking about death by a kiss, mitat nishika, right, which Rambam says, this is the goal, this is what the tzaddikim attain, and we will learn about the tzaddikim in the second half of this class, because the pasuk in chapter 2 particularly talks about Hashem's bond with tzaddikim. And everybody can be a tzaddik in this quest. The playing field is level. All right, here we go. The divine kiss certainly would indicate a very closeness, right? A very intense closeness between the male and female, between the concept and the execution. But what in particular is the kiss? So I want everybody now to purse your lips and kiss into the air. What have you just done? You've actually just inhaled. Well, what have you inhaled? Well, if you're kissing another person, you've inhaled their exhale. All right, let's look at the divine inhale. And Hashem is inhaling our exhale, the human exhale. Well, you might be thinking, I've heard about the divine exhale also. In Bereshis, when man is created, mankind, the description of how we are infused with God's self-expression, which we're going to refer to, by the way, as the neshama or the nishima or the divine breath that infuses each of us with our awareness that we are already part of something greater than ourselves. It's the divine, not literal breath, but the divine self-expression that forms the contours of our mind so that we all think in certain ways already, such as the main way, I have a right to develop my self-concept and express myself. That way of thinking is the most profound aspect of godliness within us, that we know we have the right to develop our self-concept and concretize it. Okay, now the divine exhale creates this. This is what we are living off. This is our, so to speak, spiritual oxygen. This is our feeling all the time. If anybody tries to devalue our right to self-expression, it gets very ugly. And the fact that that's what we're seeing in the world means that we're very, very close to these forces right now. We just have to use them correctly. So the divine exhale creates our life. Vayipach ba'apo nishmas chaim. Hashem blows a neshama. Divine self-expression or divine breath. And we inhale that. Now, there is a mashal by the Nefesh HaChaim, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, called the Glassblower Mashal, and it's going to help us understand the components of our identity in relationship to Hashem. So it's going to help us understand three important concepts. You may have heard them before. Nefesh, so to speak, body. Ruach, spirit, so to speak. And Neshama. All right. So in the glassblower analogy, there is the actual glass blower, and the breath is within his lungs. All right. Now, in his mind is a thought of what he wants to create, but in his lungs, so to speak, is the air. Now, there's a tube, and the blower propels, pushes, forces the breath through that tube, and then it enters this glob of unformed matter, and it, as the breath enters this glob, it gives it shape, it gives it, we'll call it tzura, form, it gives it form. And yes, according to the glassblower's creativity or self-expression, it can make a trillion different forms out of that glob of glass, all right? But it all begins with the infusion of the breath of the glassblower. That's the mashal. That's the allegory. Here is the understanding of what that means. Hashem, as we said, divine thought, the idea that brings everything into existence is obviously within Hashem. Now, Hashem takes his breath, meaning, self-expression, part of God himself, what is most close to God itself, which is creator, self-expressor, self-concept, the ultimate I. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu propels through, with, this is what Kabbalah is super busy with, many, 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 many emanations, propels that thought into us until it enters our mind, and it gives form, okay? It gives form to what? To our minds. So the breath is called the neshama. It's the divine self-expression. Every single person on earth has a neshama, meaning every single person has that the ability to draw into themselves through that tube, their ruach, okay, their own, so to speak, spirit, to drive into to draw into themselves some of God's self-expression, and to make that and to allow that to give their mind, their perspective, contours, okay, design, how we're going to think. So the neshama is the divine breath. It's the reservoir for all humanity to draw from, to gain for themselves some aspect, some potential variation of Hashem's self-expression that they personally can turn into something unique in their lives through their hard work. The ruach, or the breath being propelled through a tube, all right, that is describes the long process of emanation from divine thought to our receiving it. By the way, the mashal in the fetus in the womb, what do you think the mashal is? The umbilical cord. The umbilical cord. So the mother is the mother's self, okay, is being drawn through the placenta, would be like the reservoir, the source of this, all the vitality, the nutrients, everything, the life force, being drawn into the child. Now, the child in this mashal is us, as every human being, and the divine thought that we're drawing in, and we have the ability to draw in, all right, is entering our minds. It's very important to understand that the nefesh is the mind, meaning it is, Rambam says, teaches this in the beginning of the 8 chapters, the mind has different aspects to it. It controls, obviously, everything the body does, and what's critical is that the design of the mind, or the mindset, is accurate, that it understands and thinks correctly. And so every single human being has the potential to think correctly if they choose, and here again is where Bechira is, here's where the female chooses to concretize the divine thought, the truths, the Torah, let's say, or everything Hashem has released into the world through Torah and mitzvahs and prophecy and miracles and all of that. We get to choose, so to speak, in our mashal, to like plug that umbilical cord, so to speak, into our minds. And what that will do is allow us to begin to form the pathways in our mind according to true ideas, true realities, and then begin to see the world from a true perspective. Okay? So what happens is that this flow of divine thought into our minds is in our realm of Bechira, of free choice. By the way, the flow from into us is referred to as the Shefa, the flow, or it's also called, believe it or not, the Shechina. So when we are pulling that flow through learning Torah, through doing mitzvah sincerely into our minds, we are actually drawing the Shechina, so to speak, into our lives. Now, here's where, as we said, Bechira comes in. The word we're going to use, thanks to my husband, I call him the secret weapon, is mind meld. We are attaining a mind meld with divine thought. All right? This little God within a God, this little fetus in the womb, this little individual with their own capacity to develop a self-concept has chosen to construct that self-concept off of true ideas. This connection, this is called intimacy. This is actually called das. Das in the Torah is referred to as like intimate knowledge. That's a mashal for a blend whereby we draw into ourselves willingly all of those great truths that will form first our mindset and then our choices and then our behaviors and then our concrete actions and all putting it all together, our identity. Okay, a mind meld. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, now we're getting to death by kiss, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. At the end of a person's life, Hashem will stop, causing that flow of divine thought into the person's human mind. Rather, Hashem will inhale. Inhale means that Hashem will draw back all of that thought that has been infusing our mind, that we've been actively drawing into our minds. Hashem will draw it back. And what will get drawn back with it is our minds, because there's a mind meld. And so our body goes into the ground, but our identity, our thinking, our psyche, our full self-concept, our individuality, our full personality that was developed exists. It absolutely exists with no body, and that exists forever. Where does it exist forever? In the realm of Hashem's self-expression, in a non-physical realm. However, in that realm, there's the individual. There's the aspect of how God's self-expression was channeled in the world through this particular person, through their mind meld, through their opening their mind to these ideas by learning and studying and doing things sincerely, and always learning from everybody and everything. And that individuality still is maintained in the dimension of the non-physical, in the dimension of Hashem's pure, unconcretized self-expression, the dimension we call Olam Haba. Rambam describes it as just enjoying the radiance of the divine presence and knowing that we have our part in it. Now in Perek 2, again, we're just going to pick out select psukim because we're trying to build for ourselves a working model of how to connect to Hashem in a real way, how to have this intimacy or this mind meld. So in Perek 2 it says, Ani ledodi vedodi li, that's the hint to Elul, and we're going to get to this pasuk one more time in chapter 6 from a different angle. But here it says, I am for God and God is for me. We're blended. This is intimacy. I am to my beloved. My beloved is to me. I am allowing myself to be infused with these ideas. I'm concretizing it. Therefore, Hashem is giving me a greater and greater flow. This is the source of chidushim, of insights, of epiphanies, of hope, of connection, of even hashkacha, divine providence. This is all flowing, and I'm feeling strength, and I'm feeling optimism, and I'm feeling trust, and I'm feeling all these things are coming through the flow, not just understanding and insights and tremendous, profound grasp of the depths and greater depths of Torah. But all of this is flowing. And then it says we're together, but it adds one more emphasis. Ani ledodi vedodi li, ro'eh b'shoshanim. He's kind of like browsing in the lilies. And the lilies is a mashal for tzaddikim, for the righteous. Well, who are the righteous? It's fundamental to understand that in terms of becoming righteous, the playing field is entirely flat and even for everybody. Every single person can open this flow. Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim 351, it's entirely in our hands to open the flow. It's based on sincerity and desire, a little bit of learning from all sorts of sources, not just Torah, from other people, from experiences. It's about doing mitzvah sincerely. Just everyone can open the flow. When a person makes their priority to having that mind meld, having their mind filled with divine ideas, Torah ideas, when a person makes it their priority, when Am Yisrael play that role for the world, okay, that we bring these ideas into the consciousness of humanity, then we have become in the category of tzaddik. Maybe not a perfect tzaddik, but a tzaddik is someone who consistently identifies with truth. Consistently identifies with truth and wants to mold themselves within the context of truth. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for and knows that he's looking for it. He knows we can attain this. He gives us a million second chances to attain this. So what we've learned today is that every person has the ability to draw that divine exhale, to inhale that, so to speak, divine exhale, to make it who they are, to build it and concretize it, to blend in such a way that that identity exists forever, and to be counted among the tzaddikim who have made a consistent, determined effort to have this become their inflow for their understanding of life, for their strategies for life, for their perspective on life, for the way they're going to make decisions, the way they're going to go about life. It all comes from above, from truth, from divine self-expression. If this is our commitment, then we have entered the realm of tzaddik. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi nishmas makabas tzvi Yosef.